It's been such a blessing to worship God together and to fellowship with one another. I really just wanted to do a brief, simple, not simple when you think about the implications of it all, but just kind of a foundational lesson. Just kind of go back to the basics. And the basics for us as Christians, for many of us as Christians, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I want to start at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I was thinking about these things this week. I had a first time study this week, and so all of this was in my head, and I felt like it was good to. It's always good to be reminded of who we are, why we do what we do, and there's a conclusion that I want to come to that even though a lot of these things that maybe I'm going to go through, just I kind of know that there's an ending that I want to get to that we always must think about as we walk this walk that we have in Christ. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1, Paul here says, "Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures." Now I'm going to run through some verses probably pretty quickly here, but the first question that I want to ask is, okay, so why is this foundational? See that Paul says that it's foundational. He says I deliver to you as of first importance, and it's foundational because what do we see? We see that the gospel does what? It saves. And we see that emphasized also in Romans chapter 1 in verse 16. Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For it is the righteousness of God, in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith." So we see that it is the power of God. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God for everyone who believes. Okay, so it seems pretty important. It saves. It is the power of God for salvation. So what is the gospel? Well, again, we go back to 1 Corinthians. He says, "I delivered you of first importance this, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." We've probably heard gospel be described as the good news, and that's in the Greek, that is what the term means. Either good tidings or a good message, the good news, and the good news is Christ, the message of Christ, that Christ came. And again, here's a big part that I've really come to love as I've continued to dive into the Scriptures, and that is the phrase, according to the Scriptures. It is that phrase that separates what we believe from anything else in this world, because nothing else has that proof that God has given us through His Word. It's not just that Jesus came into this world and that we read that Jesus came into this world, but also that we can see all throughout time through God's word that God always said that Jesus was going to come into this world. There's nothing else that does that. So according to the Scriptures, Christ was going to come into this world, and he did. And according to the Scriptures, Christ was going to die for our sins, and he did. And according to the Scriptures, he was going to be raised from the dead, and he did. And there's witnesses of that. So that's the good news of Jesus Christ. Praise God. So how does that save? Right? That's the good message. How does a message save? Well, it won't if you don't believe in it. We see that he points out, if you believed in vain, we saw in Romans that it is the power of salvation for everyone who believes. Okay, we have to have faith. We have to believe. What do we need to believe in? The next scripture that I wanted to read is John chapter 12 in verse 44. See, Jesus is speaking here and says, "And Jesus cried out and he said, he who believes in me does not believe in me, but in him who sent me. He who sees me sees the one who sent me. I have come as light into the world so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at that last day. For I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak. I know that his commandment is eternal life, and therefore the things that I speak just as the Father has told me. So we see that Jesus is saying you have to believe in me, that he is the one who is sent from God is one of the things that he is emphasizing here. And specifically, as the one sent from God, he is the Son of God. We see Jesus asked in Matthew 16 and verse 17, well, this is after Jesus asked Peter, who do you say I am? And he answers, you're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God. And Jesus says in verse 17, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. Nobody specifically told him that this is the Christ, but it was revealed. Peter saw in all the things that Jesus was doing that he was the Christ. But my Father who is in heaven, I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. The rock is that Jesus is the Son of God. The Christ and the Anointed One. In the second part of this gospel, Jesus died according to the Scriptures, and Jesus was raised according to the Scriptures, confirms that. We see because Jesus was raised from the dead, God anointed him as his Son. So, the Son of God died for us. Think about that. Think about the weight of that. The Son of God died for us, for you, for I. So we believe that. But we just don't believe that fact. We also believe that that fact gives him authority. And we submit to that authority. We see that back in Romans 12, verse 47, again, he says, if anyone hears my saying and does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has the one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at that last day. We also read in Romans 10 and verse 8, Paul says, and what does it say? The word is near to you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, Lord, think about that. If we confess Jesus as our Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with his mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Again, we don't just believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We do believe that, but we also believe him to be our Lord. We believe that he is our King. We believe that we are to submit to him. And so that brings up the next point. It's not just about faith, but it's about obedience too. And we read in 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 6, for after all, it is only just for God to repay with afflictions those who afflict you, and to give relief to you who are afflicted, and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who, number one, do not know God, and number two, to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we've mentioned that the gospel is the good message of Jesus Christ. We've looked at that. How do you obey that? How do you obey a message? How do you obey the fact that Jesus died for us and was resurrected for us? Well, Peter talked from the very beginning on the day of Pentecost about these very same things that I'm bringing up here. I mean, the gospel has not changed. It's been the same for over 2,000 years. He brings up the fact that Jesus died for, that Jesus was the Son of God. We saw that according to the works that he committed, but also to because God brought him back from the dead. And after Peter brought that about, we see in Acts chapter 2, after the people that he is speaking to believe, and we know that they believe because we read in Acts 2 and verse 37, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart. I mean, you don't get pierced to the heart unless you believe something. They were pierced to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is how you obey the gospel. And if you want to go farther into it, you can take a look at Romans chapter 6, and you can see literally how that is obeying the good news of Jesus Christ, the fact that Christ died and was resurrected through baptism. We are also resurrected. We also die to that old life, to our sin, to that old consciousness, and we are resurrected into a new life. The wonderful thing is that we don't have to go up on a cross because Jesus again, the Son of God did that for us. So, like I said, a lot of that, it's like, well, Josh, we know that. That's what our faith is based on. That's why we're here. But now I come to the question that I don't ask enough. And that is, now what? And I don't know, we look at that, it's like, well, it can't be more than that, right? That's just that. But let's say, look at Matthew chapter 28 and verse 16 and the Great Commission. Jesus, well, we see, but the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some were still doubtful. And Jesus came up and he spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." That's something for us to think about, especially as we go out and try to and spread the word of Christ to the world that we are around. It's not that we are just seeking to baptize people. We are seeking to bring them to Christ, to be saved. But Jesus was not looking just to save people. He was looking to save people. He loves us. He wants to save us. But specifically, he said, "Go therefore and make disciples." That is what Christ is looking for in us. To be saved, to be his children, to be his family, but to be his disciples. To submit to him, to take his yoke, to learn from him. I mean, what is it that disciple means to you when you hear that word? When you hear that Jesus wants you to be his disciple? I'm kind of ashamed. I actually didn't even look up a dictionary definition or anything, but I mean, I can imagine what it would say, you know, about the submission to a teacher's teaching or whatever it may be. But the more important question is, what does it mean to you? When you hear that Jesus saved you, the Son of God died for you to save you, to make you his disciple, what does that mean to you? And how are we going to be his disciples today? It's kind of a fun question to ask, because you think about, again, the gospel is God's power of salvation. We have God's power in us. We have the Almighty God standing with us. We have the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, cleansing us and covering us. What is it that, I mean, you can think of the imaginable things that we can do with it, but what are we going to do with it? Of course, that does begin with obeying the gospel. And if you have heard this message, the greatest message to ever be proclaimed, the good news of Jesus Christ, and if you this evening realize, or this afternoon, realize that you still need to be saved and put on him in baptism, then please come forward while we stand and as we sing.